You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
This is the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Raining Jays, and we are here live atop the sad TD Garden after the Celtics lose game four, 101-103. I am one of the Raining Jays, Jam Packard, a.k.a. Samuel Jamison Packard III, a.k.a. Ladies Love Cool Jam, a.k.a. Young Baby Jamwich. And those names just don't seem as fun because this Celtics season is pretty much over. I am joined on tonight's podcast by Danger Cart, formerly of Celtics Hub, now just a man of the internet. He's a salary cap wizard, and I expect a lot of anger tonight because that's what Jay King has told me he expects from you. So, Danger Cart, how are you doing tonight?
Terrible. I am doing miserable. This is the worst. Also, by the way, just to get it to clear, it was 113-101. It was a blowout.
I'm so sorry.
Just be clear that they were never in it in the fourth quarter in this must-win game where Giannis sat most of the third quarter with foul trouble and where the Bucks went 8 of 36 from 3. And they were never in it in the fourth quarter because this season is a fucking misery.
Wait a second. They went on a 7-point run. I mean, before we get into that,
Mook had a chance.
I want to introduce the other voice on the pod right now is Sam Sheehan of the Celtics blog, also another weird internet person. And are you angry as well, Sam?
I feel great. You love to see it. I love that by watching the Celtics team for, I don't know, this whole year and just, you know, feeling generally dead inside for most of it, that, you know, I could predict the fact that there would be like some sort of that when the Celtics did go on that little 8-0 run to pull within what, 5 or whatever. I knew that was it. You know, like we've all seen this like so many times. And I don't know. I'm more like bummed out. I was very angry when it was happening, but I've gently let myself atrophy into just like a very peaceful misery that I'm just wallowing in right now. Feels great.
That sounds fantastic. Now we are on a podcast, so I figure the best way to approach this is to do a quick power rankings of the worst things about Game 4. My first nomination to lead in the power rankings is going to have to be Kyrie Irving, who finished 7 for 22, 23 points, 1 of 7 from deep, and actually had 10 assists. I actually thought his passing was not that bad, so maybe he won't finish number 1 in the power rankings, but yikes, that was a good performance.
No, he finishes number 1 because this literally comes on the heels of him going 8 for 22 and saying, we will not see 8 for 22 again, and then going 7 of 22.
He didn't lie. I'd like to point that out.
You know,
he
absolutely
did not lie. Yeah, okay. First of all, he didn't lie. Second of all, if this were the 2010 NBA Finals, he'd be walking home with the MVP. So let's all bite our tongues here for a second. I got to say, I really... If I had to rank things number one, I think I would probably put, I mean, maybe they schemed it this way, but I just felt like the switches that the Celtics were letting Giannis get on the offensive end, they were kind of like leaving Kyrie and I guess a couple of times some other people, but mostly Kyrie on an island on the defensive end. And Kyrie didn't seem particularly interested in, I don't know, fighting Giannis on those switches, I guess there's not too much he can do. He's a point guard, you know, so it's not totally his fault. But
if he's getting roasted by George Hill, you might as well let him get roasted by Giannis.
Yeah, I guess that's
like for all he went 7 of 22 and had 10 assists. You can be like, yeah, okay, that's a bad night on offense in all ways. He's been terrible on defense. Like his offense has
really
been
bad,
disappointing, and really inefficient, yeah, and largely stupid. His defense has been atrocious this whole series.
The
and,
thing that's most frustrating about the switches is that there were a number of possessions where they didn't switch. They like, there were Giannis was the role man, he was the screener, and they didn't switch. And they're like, here, Eric Bledsoe, you can do whatever you want. And Eric Bledsoe didn't do anything. It's like they had the recipe of just not switching, and it just feels like they were just, all right, we're a switch team, we're just going to resign. It's like, there's plenty of other ways to play pick and roll defense. You just don't, you don't have to do that. It was incredibly frustrating. The Bucks weren't even setting full, like, actual screens. They were slipping screens, and the Celtics were still switching.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think that's just like what it seemed like to me. It seemed like, I don't know, they just seemed like they were playing just lazy defense, I guess. And that's sort of been a theme for the Celtics every one of these games out since, you know, game one. But man, I don't know. There was just so much. I mean, the Celtics had their usual turd bonanza from behind the 3-point line, but I mean, I guess that's just kind of what this team is at that point. So I don't even know if I really want to even power rank the shooting on there at any point, because I think that you got to credit the Bucks defense at least a little bit in that.
Oh well, we'll get. Next, oh, go for
the,
it. Go
the
for
next
it.
In the power rankings is unfortunately Gordon Hayward. I think, who is persona non grata at this point in the series. Like, he looked, you know, great. We were all excited that he looked better at the end of the regular season and that he had a good, you know, he's had a couple of sort of, you know, a couple of spontaneous breakout good games in the playoffs, I guess. And you go, oh, maybe this is it. I mean, he scored 2 points tonight. And there are people who are like, well, he only got 5 shots. And you're like, well, he only took 5 shots. Like, he had plenty of opportunities to do things. He didn't do anything. The Celtics big three, Horford, you know, got there a little bit in the fourth quarter when it was mostly a done deal, and so doesn't have a terrible stat line. But like, Kyrie and Hayward are supposed to be the engines of this team, and one was bad and the other was non-existent.
Yeah, and I mean, to be a little bit egalitarian about this too, you know, I remember last year when Al Horford was having some slow games and everybody, you know, blamed his new baby. I got to think that Gordon Hayward, especially since he looked so good very recently, I'm going to go ahead and blame this one on the Overwatch League starting. You got to think about how late Gordon's
sleep schedule
up.
Is going to be.
Yeah,
ruined.
Exactly. Right, exactly. You know, some of those games are played in Korea. You know, he's got to, you know, be staying up way too late on some of these times. I want to hear that from the Drive Time Radio guys tomorrow. So
he plays too many video games.
Yeah, he plays way too many video games. You got to wonder where his priorities are when it comes to this team.
You would think he would be more aggressive with all the violent video games that he plays, though. You think like that he would lash out at people, but instead he just gets into the paint and is looking to pass every single time, and it's just... It's so weird because it's like you think you would build confidence from those games he was good, but it was just like I think the Bucks deserve a lot of credit. They do a damn good job of protecting the rim. I mean, if Giannis is not the person being drove on, he's like can kind of play the center field. It's very hard to score against Giannis when he's protecting the rim. And so, I mean, I give the Bucks defense credit, but just no one was really looking to go to the rim. And Gordon Hayward exemplifies that in the most. Can I have another nomination? This is a specific moment in the game, and it's going to be the 8 minutes end the third quarter.
Ooh,
where
this should
Giannis
be number
picked
one.
Up
you're right.
His fourth foul. The game was tied at 59-59. Giannis did not play the rest of that quarter. He was not on the court, and they finished the quarter losing by 80-72. It was one of the worst 8 minutes of basketball the Celtics have played all year. It was the exact time when they needed to take over. Up until that point, they had played a decent game. They were drawing fouls. Mook was playing out of his mind. There was 4 fouls on Giannis. Oh, bonus on top of that, 2 minutes in, you get 4 fouls on Chris Middleton, and he goes to the bench. And there's just nothing the Celtics can do. So I think you're right. That probably has to be number one, but just like... Yeah, to get beat by one of the weirdest Bucks lineups I've seen in a long time was terrible.
Well, even went one step further, because right with so with 8 minutes to go, Giannis went out. With 6 minutes to go, Middleton went out. With 4 minutes to go, I think Bledsoe went out. And then Pat Connaughton blocked a Terry Rozier three and then threw down an uncontested hammer dunk on the other end. And I started to cry a little bit.
Oh, don't worry. Kyrie came back from that and immediately traveled.
Yeah, no, that was right.
Yeah.
That was a good – no, that's number one on the power ranking of suck, I think. That would be – I think you're right. I'm moving that above even Kyrie's 7 of 22. Those 8 minutes were the worst 8 minutes of my life, including the death of family members.
Yeah, this is definitely something where the Celtics all I could think when I was watching the Celtics team tonight is, yeah, this is definitely the Celtics team I want them to put all the assets in the middle of the table for. This iteration of the Celtics right here. I love watching them play. I definitely want to see this team augmented, and I definitely, want to see it, that this to be the core that the Celtics, build around going forward. Boy,
it's been so much fun.
It's a bad night. It's a bad night right now. Woo!
Woo, it's a fun one
for everyone in the morning.
I'm sure everyone on their daily commutes is going to enjoy listening to this one. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about all the positives in a short 30-second segment, and then we're going to just be
called
angry
Marcus
again.
Morris.
It's called the Mook. It's called the Mook 30-second Power Hour.
The J.
When we come back on the Locked On Celtics Podcast. And we're back on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Celtics lose 113-101. Game four. They're down 3-1 to the series, but a season feels over. And you know what? We always try to play both sides. We're fair and balanced here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. And so I think we should power rank the best things from a Celtics fan's perspective about tonight's game. And coming in at number one, I think is going to be the play of Aaron Baines off the bench, a plus six in his 7 minutes. I thought he was swell. He really did some things there. After Brad went away from him in game three, he used a lot of semi minutes. I thought Baines came in, really put down the all of Australian hammer. And so, I don't know. Other than that, I'm not really sure. The real answer is Marcus Morris, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean Marcus Morris was big in this final game of the year. You know, luckily... he's been under contract with the team on this current contract for more than 3 years. The Celtics will have full bird rights and can max him out in the summer. So, that'll be great. I look forward to that. I'm kidding for everyone who's not aware. I'm realizing I might have to tone down the irony levels. This is how I deal with sadness.
No, Marcus Morris is just going to leave in free agency and definitely be on the Philadelphia 76ers next year. It just feels
they can't afford him. No way they can afford him. He is going to haunt the league as the mid-level exception deal player for the Golden State Warriors after KD.
Oh, my God. Come on. Why would you put that evil out there?
He will never turn heel like that.
This was supposed to be the positive section.
That's not what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to... He's going to end up, robbing banks with his brother.
I will say that I need Marcus Morris on a team with Kevin Durant more than I need anything in the world. So that would be pretty wonderful. That'd be a great treat for me. Yeah,
is there
incredible.
A way we can get both Morris twins on a team with Kevin Durant with the Knicks?
Sure.
Good.
All they got to do is, split another discount contract for the next 4 years.
And get Pat Beverly in there. So just be the three of them bullying him. Like filling
that's
his
a
locker
team.
Just fill his locker with the balls from the ball pit. And every time he opens them up, he gets really mad. There's just doing other fun pranks, putting erasers on half-open doors, so when he opens them, they fall down and bonk him on the head. A little cloud of chalk dust comes up, and they all laugh from the back of the locker
room. Oh, my God, they'd be so good at table-topping him with one, crouches down behind him and the other pushes him. That's a good
just bullying. Kevin Durant getting bullied. All right, Celtics fans, that's the new thing for this season. We're trying to get Kevin Durant bullied off of the Warriors. Let's go.
Woo! In all seriousness, any other positives you take from this game from any other players? Jaylen Brown?
Jaylen, yeah.
Jaylen,
16
yeah.
points. He played solid. Actually looked like he tried. I thought Jason Tatum, his shot looked not great, but he still finished with 17 and 10. He wasn't the problem. It was not Jaylen Brown. It was not the young guy's fault. It was really, if they just kept the core from last year's Eastern Conference Finals team, they would have been so much better in these playoffs. They would have tried for an entire series. That would have made it nice.
Yeah, the other positives are definitely that I think both days. Jaylen was better, I guess. I mean, he started out really aggressive, which is, they always have the same, right? They never are both playing well at the same time. They just alternate. Usually games, but sometimes halves. And it's always Jaylen in the first half and always Jason in the second half, like 95% of the time when that happens. And it was a little bit the way it was today, but I thought Jaylen came out aggressive and, 16 and 7. He's been making his free throws even, I think, later in the series, made 4-4 again today. I think he made free throws last game too. And Tatum couldn't make a three. Like, he couldn't make a three all series long until he made his last one to get them a little bit back in the game in the fourth and give up a little bit of false hope. But at least he didn't look like, I don't know, he was trying at least. Like, that was nice. And also, I think they both played pretty good defense. Mook did as well. Giannis went crazy and nobody could stop him all game, but nobody else on the Bucks was like all that good from their starters, at least, you know. So I thought they both played well along with Mook. And you would think that, like, hey, there's this team that's got all these wings, and if you get the Jays and Mook having good games, like, that should be a pretty good Celtics game. And everything else sucks. So that's the three stars of the game, like hockey, and there are no others.
Well, I want to nominate, you talked about all those wings right there and just like how good the wings were playing, and the wings were doing so well. So I want to nominate Brad Stevens for putting in his patented three-guard lineup right in the middle of their meltdown.
Yeah.
Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, and Kyrie Irving. It really did not go well, and he stuck with it even to start the fourth quarter, which was absolutely atrocious. But we'll use that as a point to pivot to the return of our golden boy. Marcus Smart came back. He missed his first two threes, shot another three and made it, and we all thought everything was good with the world. And then he missed another four threes, including one of the most horrendous Marcus Smart heat checks air balls in the history of time, like right in the middle of a rally when they needed a basket. He airballed a three, and I couldn't help but laugh because that's just classic Smart.
He also almost one of the seven, so one of the six misses, was a three-quarter court heave where he stole the inbounds pass with 1 second to go and got up a heave that almost went in, which is the perfect Smart experience of him stealing an inbounds with 1 second, taking the heave, not saving the field goal percentage, but then missing it, is just perfect. There's no way that you could expect him to do anything tonight, right? He's coming back from an injury that he shouldn't really be playing yet. He would, you know, if they had won game three, I'm sure he wouldn't have played tonight. They're down 2-1. And he's kind of come in and give him juice, and he made a shot. And he was minus 13 and should not have been playing in the second half, probably. And, you know, whatever. He's a warrior to get out there for all the shit on this team. Like, I'm not going to come down on Smart.
Yeah. I mean, this is like definitely, this is like, I was pretty irritated. Chalk me up as one of the Homer whiny babies who was mad about, you know, game three and how game three went with like refereeing. I did think that the Celtics had some legitimate gripes about that. This one, the Celtics just plain and simple got worked up and down by a team that was very clearly better. I think that that's why there's so much gloom and doom about this game, because there really is no hiding behind. There's no shadow. There's no shade from the bright sun of, the simple facts that the Bucks are really a better team right now. I mean, and I think that, you know, we all kind of held on, well, I'll speak for myself here. I kind of held on to the fact that the Celtics are a very talented team. And, you know, talent does seem to sort of have a way of finding its way in the playoffs to sort of create gaps, or at least, you know, make things, a little bit more even. And that just has not been the case. You know, the Celtics were who we thought they were. And it's pretty clear now. I mean, it would also, I also want to put this out there, though. it would be the most on-brand thing in the entire world for this Boston Celtics team, after everyone has thrown dirt on them, to go into Milwaukee, win game five, somehow win game,
no.
and somehow win game six, no. and force a game seven. No, that would
no, 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 no. And, that would be the most on-brand thing of the last couple of years of Celtics teams. The most on-brand thing of this year's Celtics team is that they will pack it in from the first quarter and get their asses kicked by like 40.
That's game seven.
Guys, this team, whenever they face any adversity, they totally, like, they just, they go in the tank. When have they had that? When have they had it in them that they're like, oh, we're down 3-1. We got to make a big comeback here and try to make it interesting. Like, you're talking about the hospital Celtics. You're talking about the fun Celtics who you felt were fighters. Like, this team is not.
This was the game where they needed to fight. I mean, Danger Card mentioned it at the start of the podcast, but the Bucks went 8-for-37 from deep. The Celtics pretty much had the entire Bucks team in foul trouble. Like, this was the game where they had the entire opportunity to take take this control back. And if they showed any sort of fight, this was the game. I'm agreeing with Danger Card here. I think the Celtics are most likely going to pack it in game five. And this
let me plead my case real quick, okay? Because this team, you guys are viewing it through the lens of this is a Celtics team that is, will crumble whenever there's any adversity. You're not looking at it through the lens of what this Celtics team is very specifically designed to do to me, Sam Sheehan. They are all gathered in the locker room after the game, and they're actually all huddled around different Excel spreadsheets, some charts they've made with the chart wizard to maximize my hope and despair. And they have been gauging this all throughout the playoffs. And this is something I very earnestly believe. They are going to absolutely win the next two games and lose game seven, because that would hurt me the most personally. And that is what this Celtics team is born to do. Really, really just hurt me as badly as they possibly can. So
no,
I look forward to it.
They are purpose-built not to hurt us, but to disappoint us. And the way they will disappoint us is by getting their asses kicked in Game 5.
Don't you think losing by 30 in Game 5 hurts more? Like, there'd be fun if they won the next two games.
No, it doesn't hurt more. It just disappoints more. Like, it gives you nothing to hang your hat on in the end. But I also want to – can I also go back to, Sam, what you said at the beginning of of your point? We should stop saying that this team is so talented, because they're not. Like, they really just aren't. They haven't been from the beginning of the season. I've been on this since the beginning of the season. I'm getting all these, tagged on Twitter about, like, oh, you must be, like, oh, you were right. You were right. You must be happy. But I'm like, no, I'm miserable about it. But this team is not that talented, right? Like, the point is, has been from the beginning, you win in the playoffs by having, the best player, right? Like, if you look at who's left in the playoffs, obviously LeBron didn't make it because he got injured and the Lakers are a shit show, but... Like, it's not a mistake that Giannis and Kawhi and KD and Harden are, like, at this point, you know, that they're still playing, and Jokic is going to be first-team All-NBA, I think, and all the guys on the Sixers who are playing big minutes. Like, Kyrie is not – I sort of put out a poll earlier today that was like, you know, how many teams would Kyrie be the best player on from the remaining teams? And it was like 0-1 was the most people thought. Which is right. He's going to make his second All-NBA team. He's 27 years old. He's not good enough to be the best player on a real title contender. The team knows that, I'm pretty sure. They wanted, you know, the idea was to get him in, win enough games, and try to get Anthony Davis, who is good enough. But, like, Kyrie's not good enough to be the number one player. Horford is really good in the playoffs, but he's still, like, a fit-in role player. You need to have him. But he's not as good as, like, Draymond, who's the fourth best warrior, right? Hayward is a total catastrophe right now. Not his fault. His leg slapped and, you know, snapped in half.
No, like, it is his fault.
But, like,
he needs to be better now.
And Jaylen's in his third season, and Tatum's in his second season, and development isn't linear, and Jaylen's been good in the playoffs, and Tatum had a step back because everybody says it's Kobe, but really it's his idiot, the shooting coach who's got him, everybody who works with him is, I can't remember his name, it's pissing me off. Like,
he fixed
talented. Drew Hanlon. Yes. Drew Hanlon. Everybody in the Drew Hanlon program is like, you know, falls. It's got like Andrew Wiggins and Markelle Fultz. Like, they're all, it's terrible.
What, does Markelle Fultz have a shooting problem? I missed this.
The entire, but like, the point just stands that, like, they have talent in the sort of abstract, but they do not have second round playoff talent going up against a 60-win team. Like, Giannis is so much better than anybody on the Celtics. Kawhi and KD and Harden are so much better than anybody on the Celtics. And when it comes down to every possession that counts, except in the third quarter when it's Pat Connaughton and George Hill, like, they're not that talented. They're 49-win, 4-seed talented in reality, and that's what they proved to be.
I guess just what I'm saying is sort of it is just downright bizarre and, quite frankly, sort of like a Lovecraftian horror come to life to see a team that was one win away from the finals get this much worse.
But the East by the addition. Sucked.
Yeah, I understand that, but
it was a perfect confluence of what happens in the playoffs, right? They could have very easily lost in the first round last year, and it wouldn't have been like a crazy thing because, again, the best player in the series was on the other team. He just wasn't quite ready to go there yet and like take the next step forward, right? It was part of Giannis's learning curve. The Sixers are a particular matchup, but the Sixers have added a lot of talent this year compared to where they were last year, even if long term that might not be the smartest construction of a roster in the world, but they're a better team. Kawhi is now in the East. Like, last year, and then they lost to a team that had LeBron and seemingly nobody, although now we're getting our asses kicked by George Hill, who was on that. You know, it's like
George Hill is the best player on the Bucks.
George Hill is better than anybody on the Celtics this series. Like, it's not even a joke. He's been killing the team.
It's rough.
Not that talented.
They have the three best players. I agree with you. I'm just talking about, I think, why this, but I think part of the reason this feels so horrifying is because, you know, that math on its face does not line up. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that that's a pretty staggering thing. But also, you know, if you look at, you know, this is probably what a 49 win team should look like in the playoffs. Yes. Get annihilated by the 60 win team. Yeah, like,
last,
you know,
year was
like
the outlier, and we all thought right. that, and we're everybody's pretending that this year is the outlier, and that like the problems are all these like, you know, touchy-feely thing. Like, no, the team doesn't have enough talent. They're not good enough to go and be title contenders, and they've all convinced themselves that they are. And so, yeah, there are certainly locker room weirdness and all that stuff. But, like, the number one problem is that you stack up the players, and the Celtics are worse. And so they're losing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're losing even when things go right for them, like tonight, in a lot of ways, you know. So, like, and again, I don't even think... I think Danny Ainge and the rest of the Celtics front office, like, is aware of this, right? They know the history of the league. They know what it takes to win a title. If they really want to win a title, like, this has all been a play to, again, hope they make it far enough where Kyrie stays and they can get Anthony Davis, and then you've got a player who's in that tier. And, like, that's been the game for 2 years now. But when it comes down to it, last year was the outlier. This year's team is what this team should look like.
Well, it's been fun, boys. We still have one more segment left. we got some fantastic.
I feel great.
Do you have me on more? Quotes. You want to have me on again next week?
Oh, I absolutely.
Or never again.
We're going to have you on after game 5. It's going to be fantastic. But we have some fantastic Kyrie quotes coming after this game.
Oh boy!
And then we're going to get to the fans' tweets, and then I think one of the best junk drawers.
Really?
Oh yes! And so we'll get to those Kyrie quotes coming
great.
Up after this. Celtics podcast, and after a dreadful performance, Kyrie Irving spoke to the media, and he was asked about what happened, and he said, quote, "I missed shots. Shots just didn't go in. That's fair." Asked about his confidence level, he said, "That's unwavering." Here's the best quote. Asked about his shooting woes, 19 for 36 the past three games, Kyrie said, quote, "Who cares? I'm a basketball player. Prepare the right way. The expectations on me are going to be sky high. For me, the 22 shots, I should have shot 30. And I got to respect that keep on posting mentality, because that's fantastic.
He is posting through it.
He is absolutely posting through it. Here's another quote. Kyrie says the Milwaukee Bucks have been highly effective while running three particular plays. The Celtics just haven't had an answer for those plays. That is depressing. More quotes after the game. Brad Stevens, he said what happened. He really broke it down. It really just boils down to the runs. Yes. Basketball is a game of runs. And it boils down to the runs. And then on what they need to do, they all need to play better on Wednesday. So I feel the two primary leaders of the Celtics, I think it's they're coming in strong after a performance, and I feel like they might bounce back.
Yeah, you know, it's very – I love – I think, you know, the only thing they forgot to touch on is they got to score more points than the other team if they want to have a chance to win. That's the only quote that I think is missing. But other than that, definitely a team with winning DNA. I feel good about it.
All right. Any further thoughts on our two sweet princes before we get to the fine folks' tweets?
No, but I did go on Twitter to see the comments while you were reading them, and I have 69 notifications. So that's nice.
Ooh, nice.
Very nice.
Nice. How many of these are going to be? How many of these are going to be people telling me? People who think that I want this team to suck. Because I thought the team would suck.
You're cackling. You've got like a fireplace. You've got the like some sort of like cat on your lap that you're scratching very evilly. Yes.
That's exactly what I wanted.
Perfect. All going according to plan.
All right, let's get to the fantastic tweets. I'm sure no one will be mad online in this segment. This is from Simon at Jovian Shadow, one of our Aussie listeners. I'll be cheering for the Bucks to win the championship and Giannis to be crowned MVP if the Celtics can't pull a miracle out of their butts. Well, Simon, good luck rooting for Giannis to be crowned MVP and for them to win the championship, because the miracle is not coming out of the butts.
Yeah, Ron Howard voice. They didn't, and they didn't. I don't know. It feels like the Warrior. I mean, do we think that like the Bucks are would win the Eastern Conference Finals against whichever of these you know, other teams comes out? I feel like both these teams have pretty good matchups against the Bucks, but
that's what everybody said.
I'm not
us.
Sure. Yeah,
I think any of the three teams could come through. To be honest, I don't think there's like a big heavy favorite here. Again, I am on Twitter trying to keep up with what we're talking about here, and I'm just I'm feeling that I made a mistake in the first segment of this podcast because I'm just seeing the video of this kid drummer at halftime, and this is incredible. While we're going through Twitter stuff.
Oh, well, let's talk about the kid drummer right now. I saw this kid in Golden State, and he was awful. He was really, really bad.
Oh, wow.
Wait, does he just come back whatever jersey he sees? Is he just...
Yeah, he's not even a Celtics fan.
It was
like a sick joke.
Yeah.
This thing
keeps getting worse.
We had the drummer kid given to us and taken away just as quickly. what a brutal 5 seconds.
frankly, I thought the drummer kid, he started off strong, but by his third song, it was just a 4-year-old drumming, and it wasn't that impressive.
Wait,
he wasn't even on beat.
He just three songs at halftime?
Oh, yeah. He was there for halftime's 15 minutes. He was there for a good 10 minutes of it, just banging away to like.
Look, he's a drum player. I mean, you know, he should, his confidence is always going to be sky high. He should have played 5 songs, if you ask me.
The basketball to him, or the drums to him, the cymbals, it's just it's not going to go away. James Beard, nothing erotic about that one. Yes, there was zero eroticism in that game.
No, that was a pleated khakis right there. A pleated khakis game.
And some Steph Curry lows. Like, this is Oh, this is from Micah Malloy. Does this performance in the series push Irving out the door to New York, or does it drive him to stay better next year with the Celtics?
No.
I have no idea.
Can I just – this is the – I hate this sub, this like story, this whole subplot. Like, the idea that KD and Kyrie have like this plot to go to New York, but that it hinges on what happens in the second round of the Celtics series is the dumbest thing in the world. You might believe that they are both planning on going to New York or some other place. That's fine. You can believe that Kyrie has decided that he wants to stay. That's fine. You can believe that Kyrie hasn't decided anything. And so
is going to listen to different pitches. But the idea that it's like New York, unless we make the third round, in which case Boston is the dumbest thing that people are trying to sell. There was no, when all the heels got together in Miami, Chris Bosch wasn't like, unless I make the playoffs, then I'm not going. This is just so stupid. This will have nothing to do with the final decision. What will have to do with the final decision is that the team might not be good enough and he might just want to leave, but it's not because of this one game.
But what if they come back and win games 5 and 6 and then
also
lose
will make
in
no
7?
Yeah. Also will make zero. They could win the round, lose in the next round, won't make a difference. Like you,
what
okay,
if he accidentally does mushrooms before game 6 and then has a vision quest where he discovers that Brad Stevens is actually a Native American?
Oh. I assume that happens all the time. We're still here.
I would like to point out though too that like it is a very nice silver lining for Celtics fans if Kyrie does indeed go to New York to be on a team with Kevin Durant. That would be a great silver lining treat to see what kind of media clips and stuff come out of that situation.
Oh my God, our city runs on hatred.
They will go together and be best friends.
America runs on Duncan, Boston runs on hatred and pure just booing and probably a little racial slurs. But moving on.
New York especially, but the New York media, I love this idea that like the New York media would be any.
Oh, it's the best place for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
like
nobody gives a shit about the New York media anymore. Like they're going to be miserable because they're miserable people who hate,
There was a great SNL sketch this week about travel agencies and about how if you're sad before you go on vacation, you're probably still going to be sad when you're on vacation.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
They don't like being basketball players. It's very strange. They're both going to go there together and be best friends in misery. If that's what happens, that's fine. I wish them the best of luck. I think the silver lining is that coming off this season, Kyrie can go anywhere and Celtics fans will pivot to that's fine. It's better for us anyway. Like before he finishes signing his name. We will be
soon as he takes a meeting.
Oh yeah!
By the
Bill
same
Simmons
token,
has already written that article. That is already published on the Ringer.
Yeah. No, by the same token, I will absolutely I will break into the Locked On vault and delete this this episode if he resigns and claim I never believed otherwise.
No,
and
but that's part of the
I always knew that.
That's the point.
Yeah, exactly.
We will, for either way, if he signs, great. That was the plan all along. This is going perfect. Yet last year was a bad season. But this year, we got all this talent. We're going to be so good.
We
all
got new blood.
Together. All nobody will be playing for
imagine how
anymore.
Motivated they come back
it's
after
perfect.
This season.
If, no matter what happens, we will convince ourselves so quickly that it is for the best long term.
Oh,
get Anthony
God.
Davis. Oh, we're going to win the title. Kyrie comes back, but nothing else happens. Oh, well, now he'll be settled here and everything will work out well. And the team will mesh better. Now he will install himself as leader and it will be amazing. He leaves. We all hated him anyway. And finally, we get a chance to see Marcus Smart play point guard. We will convince ourselves that this is great, even though it is terrible in all possible ways.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've basically convinced myself like at like 5% unironically that if the Celtics had signed David Nwaba, like we'd be up like 3-2 in this series or like at some point. So
you know,
I can do
it. He was trading
anything
for PJ Tucker about 2 years ago. I'm convinced of that. They didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And we went to the Raptors and it was just all downhill from there. All right, we're getting to the Rain and Junk hashtag. This is a good one. Paul Passy Ratinky. By the way, what is the street value of those BWA t-shirts right now?
Oh, no.
Would they go three for a million today? What was the bet?
Yeah.
They finished with a total of 7 points.
17. 3 for 17. That bench with attitude.
What was your favorite was, ill-advised Terry Rozier three? Was it the one who got
the
blocked,
one that got blocked
or the one in the corner?
Although
the one in the corner.
The one that got blocked, I think the clock was running down. Maybe. I don't remember. But, I mean, he got blocked by Pat Connaughton, who then ran out and dunked. Like, that. The one in the corner was bad. They were all bad. Mm-hmm. He's bad.
It's been a rough Terrier. I can't bring myself to fully malign Terry, but so I'm going to blame this one on Zendaya.
I can.
You know, there's pics of Zendaya coming out of the Met Gala today. So Terry was distracted before the game. I have no other excuses for the other 90 whatever games of the season, but that was the one tonight. So I'm sticking to it.
Oh, finally, for the last reigning junk hashtag, this is just a verbal meme. It's from at Caleb Sams, and it's the guy pointing at his head to the gif of that. And it says, home court doesn't matter if you can't win at home. And I think that's a very valuable point. All right, boys, this is your first time on the reigning junk segment. So this is for any observation you had during this game that's not basketball related. I turn the floor to you. Anything. What is the junk you have provided me? Fill my drawer with junk. Now, anything? Chris Webber didn't say anything.
I was
going to
say, Marv Albert.
Oh, my God.
Whatever addles his brain was on full display from minute one, when on the first shot of the game, he said, Nikola Mirotic for three, who had taken a full step of a 6'10" man inside the 3-point line,
yeah,
and then did what he always does when he realizes that it was a two. I guess a foot was on the line when he was like
14
Isaiah
feet.
Thomas.
It was a 14-foot shot.
He was an Isaiah Thomas inside the 3-point line, and then he did it again later in the game. I think for Gordon Hayward's shot, maybe, I don't remember. But another person who was at least a foot inside the line, and he once again did the, oh no, I guess a foot on the line. He doesn't have any idea what's going on the court. But he's
but don't you think they put him out there?
For a
don't you think they put him out there just to make Chris Webber sound better, like smarter, like he's the lesser of two evils?
That has been what people have proposed, but you would think they would replace both of them idiots and solve that problem in another way. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
There were three teams, two actual teams and a broadcast team, and they were the second worst of the teams involved in the game today.
I would like to shout out Chris Webber for absolutely gushing about a goaltend. That was very cool.
It was a pretty cool goaltend.
One of the coolest goaltends I've ever seen. So shout out to him. That was very cool. I think probably my reigning junk moment is probably going to be to crib a Bill Simmons bit, body language doctor. Nobody really cared today, which was I didn't love that. I think that's probably why I feel so bad after this game. It felt weird to see a Celtics team absolutely give up in an actual high impact moment. You know, I guess it felt different in the regular season, and this is the first time they were, like, really up against the wall in a must-win game, and just to see them kind of slink away into the night, very, like, looking like you had that moment, like, when Hayward and Horford were, like, pretty timid guys, like, kind of barking at each other about a blown rotation that was, in my opinion, clearly Hayward's fault. That's – you just see stuff like that, and that's not ideal.
I'm going to say that's not junky enough, and so I'm going to pivot quickly to my beef with Sixers mascot Franklin the Dog.
Thank you.
Today he just came at me. He attacked me on Twitter for a tweet I sent 2 months ago where I said, I hate Franklin the Dog with the fury of 1,000 suns. And he attacked me and said, why, you should spread love, not hatred. And then I said something mean to him. And then he said, you're a nobody. And I said,
when
you're standing on top of that ladder doing nothing, did you find some hypocrisy, Franklin the Dog? Why are you coming at me right now? And so I just want people to know that he's a grade A jerk.
Well, I do want to kind of defend Franklin for a second, because I did see some tweets about pretty recently Franklin's been wearing like a leather jacket, sort of doing some photo shoots on the way in. And it's very clear to me that Franklin is coming from family court. So as Franklin is kind of going through, you know, that's a very stressful time for anyone. So maybe you're kind of catching him in the wrong time, you know, and Franklin's kind of lashing out because of, you know, what's going on in family court, because he has huge divorce guy energy right now. And I want to at least stick up for him a little bit. Let's show at least a little compassion for Franklin.
She takes everything he has. I hope she takes him to the bank. I hope there's zero custody. I hope he never sees his kids again, because he is a horrendous person and a horrible excuse for a mascot, and he's nothing like Hip Hop the Rabbit, who is the greatest Sixers mascot of all time.
Mad Dog.
They played zone. The Celtics did play zone, which was a nice little wrinkle. That was fantastic.
Oh, was it? That
it was. It was identified as a 1-3-1 zone on television.
Oh yeah, they broke it out at the end of Game 3, and they said, "This is working," and they brought it back for more. That was cool.
Well, the 2-3 zone did actually work for a little bit, in, like the second quarter, right, where the Bucks seemed to be confused by it. The problem is, once you're to like the 12th possession of your middle school defense, professional basketball players sometimes figure it out. Especially if they're honest.
Anytime a zone is being deployed in a not like pivotal ATO situation, just sort of in the middle of a game in a playoff game, it's sort of like the Evan Williams liquor store purchase, where like it's never a good thing. Like something bad is happening, and you know, you just kind of need a little Band-Aid to sort of get you through the day. So that was that. At that point, when I saw the zone come out, I was just like, ah, really? All right, we're already at the kitchen sink moment of the game, but. Yeah, turns out it didn't work.
They broke out a zone with 6 minutes left in the first quarter.
Felt great.
That was their Evan Williams moment. The only other junk I have is that I hate the city or town of Arlington. Always have. Nothing to do with Pat Connaughton. It's just Arlington. It's a trash place. It's a trash place filled with poop people. I don't associate with poop people like that. Arlington's a rumpkin. Oh, boy. Arlington's a mama's boy, and not for me. And then finally, Milwaukee's bench has an assistant coach. They have a holdback guy, which is not something I've seen in the NBA. But from my vantage point up on the Halo, the Bucks had many reasons to get excited, mostly about Giannis dunks. And they would often come out into the court, and the Bucks bench excellently deployed a holdback guy to stop them from coming out on the court. And I just like seeing the innovation in sports like that.
I thought he was Bud's like angry Bud's holdback guy. So you're saying he like switch like he plays multiple positions?
Oh yeah, he's versatile. He switches. Oh, gotcha. He can hold back 1-4.
Wow. That you know you do love to see that kind of on the bench, you know. I would think you wouldn't need that with, you know, Coach Budenholzer being the low T Frazier, but I guess you do need somebody to hold him back at some point.
Oh man, I saw that the other day and it really made me chuckle. I don't think there's any way to top that. Does anyone else have any more junk about this junk of a season?
Brooke Lopez missed a dunk.
That was cool. That was a rare.
That was the highlight of the game.
Yeah. That came immediately on the first possession of the zone where they gave up a wide open alley-oop.
Yeah, that's why I'm remembering it.
It would be I would like the Bucks to make the finals, just so like there could be like, I don't know, like Anime Con could be like that weekend, and like just Brooke just did not show up for like one of the finals games because he was standing in line for like an Attack on Titan panel or something like that.
Well, I'm ready for the Bucks to make the finals. Aren't we all ready for the Bucks to make the finals? Because we don't want the 76ers to win, and we want Kawhi to leave the Raptors.
Because
the outcome of this series has nothing to do with Kyrie. The outcome of the Toronto series obviously
has
will
everything
decide
to do
where
with
Kawhi.
Kawhi
the
yeah,
I just feel I just feel mean rooting for Kawhi to leave the Raptors. Like that just seems like. It feels mean to me.
You're gonna root for the Raptors. You're rooting for the Raptors.
Nobody's
allowed to root for the Sixers, but like Raptors, Bucks. People like Canada and Milwaukee is Milwaukee. I don't care. But,
I'm rooting for the Denver Nuggets.
Well, yeah, everybody's rooting for the Denver Nuggets, but it's hard for them to win the East. I think.
Mm-hmm. No, anytime you can have
it's double elimination. They're going to go over to this side of the bracket if they lose.
I have a general rule of thumb that I will root for any professional athlete who has a worse body than mine. And
exactly.
So Nikola Jokic is absolutely my guy.
Nikola Jokic of the 65 minutes. He's discovered the secret of overtime basketball, which is always sauntering through the game. So that you never
hustle.
Down.
You'll always have something in the tank.
Exactly. You can just keep that up.
The inverse smart. I'd just like to point out, he has played more games than smart. Smart always injuring himself. Jokic, always healthy.
Yet they both make winning plays. What a conundrum of life.
Mm-hmm. It is very interesting.
Smart, Jokic. Who can say who's a better player?
That's not for us to decide. That's not what fans of the game do. We don't debate questions like this. We just let the gods determine who was the better player.
I mean, if we're going to be perfectly honest, they do play a pretty simple. Like, I think Jokic and Smart probably play closer
point
together
center.
Than, like, you know, yeah, like, they both play closer styles than, like, you know, Marcus Smart and George Hill do. So I don't think it's that crazy.
George Hill, the greatest player on the Milwaukee Bucks. Oh, this is a perfect place to wrap it up. I can't tell the story now, but if you ever see me, Jay King, and John Corrales in person, ask us about our night with George Hill in Vegas.
So the perfect way to wrap up this podcast is a story that you can't tell.
Exactly. And that's why people subscribe.
Very Bill Simmons. Huge Bill Simmons energy.
Get that, all the listeners out there, get that teaser. If you ever run into Jay, John, and Sam all together in
it can be individual.
Individually. If you run into any of them in real life with nothing recording, remember that moment.
So you're all
in this podcast. It's a little Easter egg for all you who made it through the podcast.
It gives people incentive to track us down where we live and come to our doors and knock us. And ask, if you knock on my door or my apartment where I live and your first words are George Hill, I will bring you into my home and give you a carbonated beverage and tell you a tale as old as time.
See, this is how you keep people listening all the way through your pods. You give out the good stuff at the end like this. You make a special listener gift.
We have
like,
to do
like
a daily podcast for the next 4 weeks. I don't know how else we're going to survive.
Well, that's something. I guess my biggest question, really? I would know to, if I wanted like another teaser, is I just want to know which one of you is J-Bug if you're telling the Vegas story. Because one of you's got to be J-Bug. No, you got to be J-Bug if we're doing a Simmons. Oh. If you're doing a Vegas Simmons story, one of you is J-Bug, the classic bug.
No, there was definitely J-Bug characters, but it was none of the individual reigning Jays.
All right, I'm going to make an executive decision and say it's the kid. So he's J-Bug now. You got to go with it.
That's fair. All right, we've gone completely off the rails. But you know what? That's what happens when the Celtics completely melt down and lose to the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 4. There's another one of these games that we'll get to talk about. And it's going to be fun. You guys can tune in tomorrow and listen to John and Jay be Big Jay journalists and actually do some analysis about this game. Ryan will not
like
be tuning
worst.
In.
That sounds so horrible. I'm sorry.
Let me just get the pitch in, Ryan, and we can shit on it afterwards. But that's what you tune into on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Only part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank my two guests. Ryan Bernadoni, Danger Cart on Twitter, and Sam Sheehan on Twitter. I'd also like to thank Sam Sheehan's hot wife for just existing. And this has been another episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packett, and Jay King.